The study this month has been on redeem, repair, restore, and reconcile. Tonight's message is on forgiveness. Tonight we're going to talk about forgiveness towards our offenders. And you know, after service tonight, most likely at dinner, you're going to encounter another person. If not tonight, you'll encounter somebody tomorrow, and by the end of the week, you'll have encountered a number of people. You know, nobody is an island unto himself or unto herself. And you know, as you interact with people on a daily basis, as you interact with people this week, somebody is going to say or do something that may irritate you. It may get under your skin. It may irk you. They may do or say something to offend you. And you know, today is Mother's Day. Today is Mother's Day, and God bless you to all you mothers out there. And you know, maybe some of you here tonight had a good mother. Maybe your mother was nurturing. Maybe she was kind. She was warm. And she really built you up on the inside. And maybe others of you had mothers that were not so good. Maybe some of you had mothers who were abusive, physically abusive, emotionally abusive, maybe verbally abusive. Maybe your mother spoke into your life that you were an accident. Maybe she told you that you were a mistake. Maybe she told you that you would never amount to anything. And those words have stuck with you. And you were offended at your mother. And maybe tonight you're out of relationship with your mother. And maybe tonight you want to come back into relationship with your mom. All right. So some of you may have had a difficult relationship with your mother. Maybe tonight your mother is still alive. Maybe you want to reconcile with her, but maybe it's difficult to reconcile with her because of the offensive things she did or said to you. If you allow a seed of offense to take a hold of your heart, it can become a root of bitterness. And a root of bitterness unchecked can become a tree of hatred. You know, I don't want a root of bitterness growing up on the inside of me. How about you? How about you? I don't want a root of bitterness growing up on the inside. How about you? All right. All right. All right. They'll take care of that in the back here. All right, maybe there was some conviction going on there. The way you allow bitterness to grow up on the inside is if you take that offense and you plant it in the soil of your heart and you think about it, you talk about it, you meditate on it, and there's one way to uproot bitterness from your heart. How do you go about uprooting bitterness from your heart? You uproot bitterness by forgiveness. Forgiveness. Does anybody here tonight have any idea of what forgiveness is? When I say the word forgiveness, what comes to mind? What is forgiveness? Forgiveness is releasing your offender of the debt you feel that he owes you. Forgiveness is releasing your offender of the debt that you feel he owes you. And you might be thinking tonight, the least he owes me, the least my mother owes me is an apology. She should say, I'm sorry for what she said to me. But you know what? Forgiveness involves releasing your mom, that person, from the apology that you feel that they owe you. So tonight we're going to look at Jesus and Peter on forgiveness. We're going to turn to Matthew 18, and we're going to go to verses 21 through 35. Matthew chapter 18, studying verses 21 through 35, section by section. But we're going to back up to verse 15. And Jesus talks about a brother who sins against another brother. Jesus talks about a brother who offends another brother, and he's saying, you know, it's going to happen in life where one brother may offend another brother. And that offending brother may not want to hear what you have to say. You may bring two others along, and that offending brother may not want to hear what the two others are to say. You may bring it to the church, and that offending brother may be stubborn and still not want to hear what the church has got to say. Hence, this stubborn, offending brother makes it difficult for you to reconcile yourself to him in your heart, because he doesn't want to listen to you nor to others. But to start the reconciliation process in your own heart towards the offending brother, you have got to forgive, as Peter and Jesus discuss in this parable. Let me say it again. To begin the reconciliation process in your own heart toward your offending brother or sister, you have got to forgive, as Peter and Jesus discuss. So we're going to go to verse 21 of Matthew chapter 18. So Peter comes to Jesus and asks, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times?" And so, who knows? Peter may have had a brother that was offending him, maybe offended him seven times, and Peter's like, okay, this offending brother is on his eighth offense toward me, and now is my time to get even. So, Jesus, how many times should I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? And Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. In another version, Jesus says 70 times seven. Now, we know that Jesus is not into numbers, right? What is Jesus telling Peter? He's saying, Peter, you need to walk in a lifestyle of forgiveness. You need to walk in a lifestyle of forgiveness. Offenses will come. And I'm here to tell you tonight, as long as you live this thing called life, offenses will come. Say it with me tonight. As long as I live this thing called life, offenses will come. So you've got to settle it in your heart tonight that you are going to walk in a lifestyle of forgiveness toward your offender. And then Jesus proceeds with the parable. He says, "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him." 10,000 talents. How much is that? That represents like millions of dollars. Verse 25, "Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt." So this king represents whom? Who does the king in Matthew chapter 18 represent? It represents Father God. Verse 26, "The servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' So this servant was begging the mercy of the king. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go." He forgave this servant the debt of millions of dollars. And friends, that's what we owed God. We owed God a mountain of debt that we could not pay. And Jesus, by his work on the cross, paid this debt that he did not owe by our faith in him. So this servant who was forgiven this huge debt goes out and finds a fellow servant who owes him just a little bit of money. Verse 28. "But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me and I will pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened." Amazing, isn't it? So you've got a servant that was forgiven a debt worth millions of dollars. This servant was arrogant. Why was he arrogant? Because he went out and found a fellow servant that owed him just a little bit, like thousands of dollars, and demanded that he pay him back. He threw him into prison until this fellow servant would pay him back. He didn't remember of the debt of the millions of dollars he was forgiven and threw a fellow servant into prison. Isn't that crazy? That's unbelievable. He forgot the debt he was forgiven of. And let us not forgive the debt we were forgiven of. God has forgiven us of a mountain of debt. How many would agree here tonight? We have sinned against God. Our sins against God have been great. We have had debts against God. God has forgiven us of tremendous debts. Let us never forget it. We need to imitate God. How many would agree here tonight? Just as God has showered His forgiveness on us, we need to shower our forgiveness on our offenders. Be ye therefore imitators of God, Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. So we go on to the parable, and it says this: Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said, I canceled all of that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owed. Amazing, isn't it? So this king, this master, who had originally forgiven this servant of a debt worth millions of dollars, found out what he did to a fellow servant, and the king was angry. So what did the king do? He retracted the forgiveness he originally showered on that servant, and he turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owed. He retracted that forgiveness. He was thrown to the torturers in jail. You know, what is bitterness like? What is bitterness like? I've heard somebody say it like this: bitterness is like trying to drink poison and expecting your offender to die. Bitterness and unforgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting your offender to die. And you know what? When you get bitter, when you get unforgiving, when you hold bitterness against somebody, guess what? It's not hurting the other person. It hurts you in the long run. Bitterness will land you in different sorts of prisons. Bitterness on the inside of you will land you in different sorts of prisons. You see, this guy who didn't forgive his fellow servant landed up in prison. And if you don't forgive, if you get bitter towards somebody who has offended you, if you remain bitter against your mom who spoke negative words over your life, it will land you in prisons of sorts. What kind of prisons could bitterness land you in? It's a serious subject. Bitterness and unforgiveness can land you in a prison of mental torture, where you think about the offensive word that person spoke over you. Maybe, who knows what it is, maybe you've been trying to lose weight and you meet a long-lost person that you knew in the past. You've been trying to lose weight, this person meets you after so much time and says, man, it looks like you've gained some weight, and you get offended. Or maybe somebody says something negative against a family member and you get offended, you get bitter. Or maybe it was that mother, maybe it was that parent who demeaned you as a child. And if you think about that offense and you nurture that offense and you talk to other people about that offense, it can land you in a prison of mental torture, where you think about it, you think about it, you start going crazy mentally, you can't even sleep at night. I don't want to be there. How about you? Bitterness on the inside, unforgiveness on the inside can land you in a prison of emotional torture. It can land you in a prison of emotional torture. It can land you in a cave called depression in your emotions, where you don't want to get up in the morning, you don't want contact with other people, you don't want to talk to anybody else, you don't want to eat, you're depressed, but you're depressed because you keep nurturing that offensive thing that was done to you. I don't want to be in a prison of emotional torture. How about you? All right. You know, bitterness, nurturing that bitterness on the inside, can land you in a prison of physical sickness. Talking about it, thinking about it, can't believe what she said to me. She told me I was an accident. She said I was a mistake. She said I would never amount to anything. And you start getting sick physically. I don't want to be there. How about you? You know, bitterness and unforgiveness on the inside can land you in a prison of eternal torture. Eternal torture. And it says this in verse 35 of Matthew 18. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from the heart. What is eternal torture? It's eternal death. And you know, if you walk in unforgiveness, if you die in a state of bitterness and unforgiveness towards an offender, it can land you in hell, separated from God eternally. I don't want to be there. How about you? We need to take the leap of faith and forgive our offenders. It's tough. It's like jumping out of a plane. But you jump out of the plane and you pull the parachute opens up, and you land in safety. I'm here to tell you tonight, open up the parachute of forgiveness over your offender so that when you leave this earth, you'll land safely in heaven to be with God, to be with Jesus forever and ever and ever. Is that good news here tonight? This is an eternal life and an eternal death situation. Eternity is at stake for you and for me. If you walk in bitterness, you walk in offense, you think about it, you mull it over, you talk to other people about the bad thing that person said about you, the bad thing that person did to you, friend, it can land you, God forbid, in hell. I don't want to be there. How about you? We don't want to be there. And you know, for practicing forgiveness is tough. I understand that. It's tough. Sometimes you might be thinking, man, I can't believe that person said that about me. I can't believe that person did that to me. How dare they? I can't believe she did that. I can't believe she said that. I can't believe he demeaned me in that way. I can't believe he borrowed money from me, told me he'd pay me back in a month, and he's never paid me back 10 years later. I can't believe he did that to me. Let's walk in forgiveness. It's tough, but when it gets tough and it's hard to forgive, you cry out to God and say, God, I can't do this on my own. God, I need your divine, supernatural enabling and empowerment to forgive my offender. I encourage you here tonight to cry out to God in prayer and say, God, I cannot do this on my own. I can't forgive. I want to be reconciled to my mom. I want to be reconciled to my dad. I want to be reconciled to that person who has hurt me. And the first step, friend, is by forgiving that person in your heart. Forgiving your person, that person deep down in your heart. When it gets tough, just cry out to God. Say, God, you know what? I'm too weak. This is too tough. And God will give you supernatural grace and empowerment. When it gets tough to forgive, remember what God in Christ did for you over 2,000 years upon that cross. Jesus died for your sins and my sins on that cross over 2,000 years ago so that we would not have to die in hell. Remember what God in Christ Jesus did for you, forgiving your sins in Christ by faith in Him. If He did it for you, we had a mountain of debt against God. If He did it for us, so we can do it for other human beings who insult us, who offend us, who hurt us. Is that making sense here tonight? We need to remember back to what God did for us in Christ. Let's not be like the servant who was forgiven a debt of millions of dollars and then immediately forgot about the forgiveness that was showered on him. Let's remember. Say it with me tonight. I am going to remember what God in Christ did for me in forgiving me of my sins over 2,000 years ago by the work of Christ on the cross and my faith in Him. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to read a scripture to you. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And it says this. 5:1. Ephesians 5:1. Actually, back up to Ephesians 4:32 in context. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children. He's saying, be imitators of God. Be imitators of God in what way? In what area? Be imitators of God in the area of forgiveness. Just as in Christ, God has forgiven us of our sins, we ought to forgive others. Is that good news here tonight? I'm going to read you a little illustration here from the speaker's quote book. Small illustration, and this is what it says. A woman once stayed after a church service to talk with the minister. She was downcast and despondent. "I don't suppose you can help me," she said. "For years I have been unable to pray. There is a woman who came between me and my husband, and I cannot forgive her." The minister answered kindly, "You cannot forgive the woman for her own sake, but could you forgive her for Christ's sake?" At first, the question did not register. Then a glimmer of hope lightened the depressed woman's face. "Yes," she said, "you are right. I cannot forgive her for her own sake, but I can for his sake, and I will." It's awesome, isn't it? Can we forgive for Christ's sake? Remembering what Christ did for us so that we could be forgiven of our sins. Amen?
Amen.
Is God good?
All the time.
And all the time, God is good. And so tonight, you might be struggling with this very issue of bitterness on the inside, unforgiveness toward an offender. God wants to give you His strength to overcome bitterness. Now, I want to make one point to you tonight. One final caveat, and it's this. There may be somebody in your life who is a repeat offender. Maybe it's somebody that every time you're in relationship with this person, every time you're in contact with this person, maybe he verbally abuses you. Maybe he emotionally abuses you. And then he says, "I'm sorry, please forgive me." And you forgive him. And then you meet him the second time, and he does it again, and you forgive him. It's third time, fourth time, fifth time. And every time you come into contact with this person, that person is offending you, is abusing you. At that point, you need to forgive the person. How do you forgive that person? How do you forgive the repeat offender? You forgive the repeat offender by releasing yourself of personal retaliation against him. But you've got to hold the repeat offender morally responsible for his actions. How do you hold the repeat offender morally responsible for his actions, for her actions? Number one, by separating yourself. And number two, if it gets bad enough and your security is at risk, if the security of a loved one is at risk, first of all, you separate yourself, and number two, you report it to the authorities. Is that making sense here tonight? But you release that person, you forgive that person in the sense that you do not personally retaliate against the repeat offender. Is that making sense here tonight? All right. So remember, the repeat offender, you've got to hold morally responsible.